Good morning. Today we're going to talk a little bit about staying focused. The title, if we want to call it that, would be Stay Focused, Honey. Stay Focused. Because if we don't stay focused, we're really going to be scattered. Mm-hmm. And I was reminded, I want to tell you a little story about one of my nieces. And she is the mother of three absolutely wonderful children, but they all have some special need. One of them was an early diagnosis of type 1 diabetes. And very early, like age 3 or 4, she was diagnosed with that. And it's a little bit brittle. So she's constantly, as a little kid, now she's able to test her own blood, you know, and check everything out and all this kind of stuff. But she has to take her insulin, and on days she's more active, then she's got to take more, and, you know, she's up and down in sugar levels. I mean, so it's really important to really have a handle on this. And another child is autistic. If you can believe that, she has an autistic son. And he has to go through special training and special schooling, and she's very active in the autism movement and all of this stuff. And her third child was born with a little frenulum problem, had some speaking problems and stuff that had to be dealt with, and now that has been pretty much resolved. The other two are going to be ongoing circumstances. So this young gal, I love her to pieces, but she's wonderful. Her attitude is really good too. She said, you know, I'm kind of OCD. You know, she says, I'm really kind of, she's very excellent with details and keeping track of things. She says, what better person to give these children to than me? Because I kind of have a gift to be able to keep track of it. But she's also a human being. And she can get overwhelmed sometimes. And I remember one time in visiting her, it's like all sorts of things were going on, and she was getting a little frustrated, and she was like getting a little overwhelmed and all this stuff. So her husband came over, and I remember this so powerfully. He looked at her and he said, look at me, look at me. And he went like this. You know how you take your two fingers and you point to your eyes, and he goes, focus, honey, focus. It took that few minutes for her to, you know, all these needs and the kids and stuff were coming at her and all this stuff. And he just said, focus, honey, focus. That helped her. It helped her stop all the voices and the stuff and everything flying. Focus, honey, focus. Just that minute of focusing on him allowed her that breather to think, okay, what do we have to do next? Now, that's what the Lord is trying to tell us. He's saying, look to me. Focus, honey, focus. So the next time everybody has a need and everybody wants you to do something and everything's crashing down and the money changes and the emotions change and the details change and everything's going on, remember that. God is saying to us, focus, honey, focus. It's so very, very powerful. And I just want to give that example to you, how we have to be with the Lord. Now, I want to be a focused Christian. I want to be focused, but I don't want to be focused on the work that needs to be done. I want to be focused on God, because He will lead me through a very complicated path down here, because everyone on the planet, including myself, has needs. I am not here to meet everyone's needs, neither are you. I'm here to minister to and to serve and to do what God leads me to do. Jesus gives us the hint. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. I go, okay, God, okay. Now, I'm not telling you this because I have this down. I tend to be pulled in 1,000 directions. And you know, here I pulled my MCL in one of my knees. So I'm kind of hobbling a little bit. But the other day, I get a call, and this woman is being evicted. You know, could we wait till the last minute? But anyways, and she's going to be out in the street. The notice is on there. She has to be out by 6 o'clock the next morning. This is something that's been going on in the courts for a long time. She lost. She has to get out. So I call someone, Mr. Clay. I say, hey, you got a few hours, you don't know what you're doing with. And we ended up being able to move her. It took a little longer than I thought. It was a little harder than I thought. But we got it done. But I had to know, was it okay, Lord? Now, I had a number of people comment it and say, you shouldn't be doing that. You have to do it. I understand that. I understand the assessments that can come up, and we can do that one to another. But I had to look to the Lord. Was it okay to do this? And if it wasn't, I would have to say, no, I can't. But I have to say, no, I can't, not because it was so short notice, not because I was tired, not because I didn't want to do it, but because I didn't have permission to do it. We need to practice this, and the only way to practice it is to have these circumstances come your way so you can practice. Well, none of us can do it. Now, have I always done that? Will I always? I can only hope to, but many times I have put more on my plate than God has ever asked me to do. But there's only one way to learn to do this life, and that is to do this life. We're going to learn by our errors. But I want us to be a focused Christian. And I don't say Christian in terms of some religious affiliation. I don't have a religious affiliation. I am a Christian, which means I am a Christ follower. I do not have a religion. I have a relationship. And that's what I want all. I hate this stuff that man has invented, all the different religions of the world. There is only but one God and but one truth, and that's what you need to seek, is God's truth. We've said this many times. How can you be focused when all this stuff's going on? This God, that God? Some people believe with all their heart there is a God. Some people believe with all their heart there isn't a God. And some people believe with all their heart there's many gods. Well, guess what? They all can't be true. And yet that's what our children are being taught. It's whatever you think is right. Well, how can that be true? Because some people thought the world was flat. That didn't make it true. Jeez. Your pursuit is to find the truth, and God says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we want to be focused. I want to do my best every day for the Lord. I want to be led by His Spirit. I don't want to wander off the path. And in Proverbs, we got a couple of scriptures here to share. Proverbs 4, verse 26 to 27. God gives us a little hint on how we can kind of keep focused. It says, watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Oh, okay. Don't turn to the right or to the left, but turn your foot from evil. That's His direction. Don't go helter-skelter running around. The only thing you're to turn from is evil. Now, life is a series of decisions. Over and over, day after day. You know, even as to every night I go to bed and I got to go, what time can I get up? You know, now, you know, Carolyn, she goes to bed like at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, because she's works all night on the computer and does all this stuff. She's in that crazy schedule. She works at night. So we have some night workers that work at night. It can be kind of crazy. What time do you get up? I mean, just a decision. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Who am I going to help? What do I need to do? This is a life full of decisions. And to stay focused, we need to know how to make wise decisions at every turn of the road with Jesus. And so if you rely on your feelings or your impulses or worldly desires, and they're there, I feel like doing this or I don't feel like doing that, or just like this knee-jerk reactions to things that happen, you can't stay on track. It's sort of like the joke about shiny objects. You know, some people are ADD, you know, they're distracted easily, you know. I don't know if I'm ADD or just, I don't have a label on myself, but I tend to do a lot of things. I think I just, you know, whatever that is, whatever that ethic that is within, that work ethic or that do ethic, God still needs to guide and direct it. It's good to be a hard worker, but a hard worker directed by God is what He wants. So we don't want to be easily distracted. Our ways don't work, you know, in case anyone hasn't noticed. Let me give you a hint. Our ways don't work. They look like they will. They look like we're taking everything into account. But we have to be humble down and admit, God, I'm not as wise as You. I don't have the whole picture. I don't have every detail involved. So I have to come to You. Every day I say, God, I want You to guide my day. I want You to lead me in the way in which I must go. And then at the end of the day, I hold my calendar up to Him. I say, God, You didn't do one thing I put down. I had all this stuff scheduled today, and You had phone calls and visits and counseling, and then You had me start working on this and that. Well, wait a minute. And then I go, wait a minute. I ask You to guide my day. And then when You actually do guide my day, then I get upset and I go, wait a minute. So you see, there's a little tension here between us and God, because we have the power of our own strength and our own gifts, which He's given us, and our own details in front of us. And then we have this great God that has great wisdom. And so there's always going to be this little battle going on. There is no battle in heaven. It's all over. We're there forever, one with him, never to be confused, never to wonder again what's what. We are then one. This disconnection by what Adam did is a very difficult route. But Jesus has made us sewn back together. Sozo, salvation, means sewn back, mended back together. Well, we still have the Adam nature that wants to rise up. He says, crucify the flesh and walk by the Spirit. And that's the battle. And we're going to keep doing that more and more. So our ways don't work. Now, you still have a free will. You can choose what you want to do. So that's where the power comes in. But in order for our great God, who is so good, he's perfectly good, in order for him to be perfectly just, he had to give you the free will. You couldn't just be some robot. There's no rightness in that. How can you be in the kingdom of God? It's just not going to work. You have to choose him. The only way to show your love for God is to obey God. So the way to live focused on God, there's a specific scripture, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. I absolutely love this, these verses. And one of them is sort of like my life verse, if you want to call it. In Proverbs 3, 6 is my life verse. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, this is how to stay focused on the Lord, which is what we're talking about today. When you walk away today, the takeaway is, I want to be focused on the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 is one of the ways that I can use to look at and to live and to stay focused on the Lord. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That verse has touched my heart for years since I first came to know the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, or some verses, some translations say, make your path straight. Now, I want to talk a little bit about another one of my, I have so many nieces and nephews. I have a very large family, so I have a lot of examples. But one of my nieces is dyslexic. And no one knew that in our family. And about seventh grade, she started having some reading assignments where every day she had to read a current event. And then she had to write a little, you know, a few sentences, a few paragraphs on it, and bring it back into school the next day. So this was a daily task for a few weeks. Well, it was then and only then that my sister realized she was struggling. She hated this assignment, and usually she didn't have any problem. You know, she's doing really well in school and all that. So come to find out, the struggle was with the reading. And she finally said, well, Mom, the words, they come off the page, and they go back down different. So it makes it confusing. So she had been reading up through seventh grade with this massive struggle, but she was so bright she was able to kind of work around it. So things like the word was, like, you know, the man saw a horse, she would read the man, it would say the man saw a horse, but it would come up off the page and go back down, the man was a horse. So it would be kind of confusing for her. So my sister did some investigation. They got this special doctor that works with dyslexia. She went through this whole program. She came over here to Tampa, stayed for a while, then went through this program during her summer break. And the reason I tell you that is one of the things that this doctor had her do was called a centering exercise. And it did help her to focus. It was absolutely amazing what she was allowed to do. And people that are listening and can't see what I'm going to do, but I'm standing here and on one leg, I lift one leg up and I balance on the leg. And then I think of everything. She had to think of everything to be centered from her head all the way down to her toes to be in the center. And then someone had to throw her a ball. And so she had to catch the ball. She had to think centered and then catch the ball, throw the ball back. Think centered, catch the ball. So it was like, it sounded strange, but it was something that helped wire her a little bit better. And then she had to learn all different words, because words had no meaning to her in certain aspects. So she had to learn that. The centering exercises and all of these other little things really were effective in helping her to deal with and get through, so she could actually manage her dyslexia. Now, apparently it worked, because she currently is in doing her graduate work for her master's degree in business over at the Southeastern University. So she apparently is, had that done. So, but the thing was centering. And that I was reminded of that example by the Lord. She had to practice centering for this physical need. And in order to be focused on the Lord, you have to be centered also. You have to be centered. If your priorities are based on your purpose, and your purpose comes from your personal relation with Jesus Christ, oh my gosh, then you'll be able to stay focused. If you're centered on Jesus, what do you think? What do you feel? What do you want, Lord? That has to be something we practice. We're not used to that. We don't come born that way. We came with an Adam nature, which was a broken thinker, a broken feeler, and a broken wanter. Yet we tend to do a lot of things, make a lot of decisions with that brokenness. And God says, stay centered on me, because that's the only way to be focused. Now, I want to review four things for your focusing on that, for your life that was mentioned back there in Proverbs. And God talks about dependence, dedication, discipline, and discernment. And that way, you're going to get direction. Very, very powerful. It's the first thing in that scripture. We're going to break that down a little bit, those couple of verses. Dependence. That means, it says, trust in the Lord. You have to depend on the Lord to know what He's doing. Rest in Him. Wait for Him. Don't fret. Dependence on Him is needed to focus your life. And then the verse goes on and tells us, with all your heart. That means dedication. With all your heart. Now, that doesn't come easily, and it doesn't come naturally. It only comes spiritually. So it's a matter of saying, God, I not only want to be dependent on You, I want to be dedicated. Help me to do that. Get me out of the way so that I can. With all your heart, you have to surrender. You got to throw away all your backup plans. And all of us have backup plans just in case God doesn't do what we want Him to do. I got backup. It's impossible to be focused on God's purpose if you have a ton of other options just in case. So be wholehearted, God says, not half-hearted. So dedication is needed to have your life focused, or to focus your life. Then discipline. Boy, we don't like that word. It says, and do not lean on your own understanding. It takes discipline. Do not lean on your own understanding of the person, of the circumstance, of the plan, of what the next step is. Don't lean on your own understanding, those scriptures tell us. For many of us, that probably is the hardest part of staying focused. Now, that doesn't mean you're some sort of robot here, and you can't use your brain. God, use the brain God gave you. He gave us a wonderful brain, but the thinking part of it, the physiological part, is a great ability and a great machine. But the thinking part of it's broken because of what Adam did. You got to put on the what? The mind of Christ. Because your physiological organ, the brain, is great. But the thinking part of it, your soulish portion, is broken. So use the brain that God gave you. Get your input. Use your senses. But put your trust totally in God as to what it all means and what you're supposed to do. And this doesn't take 6 weeks, folks. This takes just one moment of stepping back. Focus, honey. Stay focused, honey. It takes one moment of stepping back and go, whoa, I just got two phone calls. Things are breaking forth and this is it. My husband wants me to do that. My wife wants me to do that. My kids want me to do that. The church has called. This has a need I haven't done. You need to. When all of that starts going in, it's going to take discipline. Don't lean on your own understanding of what just happened. I mean, how many times have people gone, people have died, and well-meaning Christians go up and say, well, God just loved your baby so much, He took it home. Good grief! You don't know what God is doing. Don't lean on your own understanding as to why someone got sick and didn't get healed, and someone else got sick and did get healed. Don't you dare say someone didn't have enough faith. If your faith could do the work, then you don't need God. Get away from that. This whole thing is around God. Stay focused, honey, on God. God says the move of God's Spirit needs to be on the top of your list, in other words. Not just the information that you've gathered through that wonderful brain and that good gift that God has given us of thinking. It needs to be centered and focused. When our human feelings conflict with God's word. Wow, that takes real discipline to obey the word of God. See, God says to forgive, and everything in you says, I can't. God says to give, and everything in you, and to help, everything says, oh, I can't, I don't have time, I don't have money, whatever. And God says to trust him, and you go, but I can't trust you, God, this and that. You see, we're letting our commonality, our lower level that was broken by what Adam did, we're letting that rule. And God says, it's going to take discipline for you to kind of put that away. That's the weaker portion. It doesn't mean you don't have thoughts. It doesn't mean you don't have feelings. And it doesn't mean you don't have wants. All God's message is that those were not the original things that I made. Those are the broken things now because of what Adam did. But you can get it back through what Jesus did. But you've got to come to him and you've got to stay focused on him. And then in the verse it goes on and it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Wow. That all is a big word, even though it's only three letters in our language. I think in Spanish is todo. Is todo is all.
Yeah.
En todo. So it's got a little bit, few more letters. Makes no difference how many letters or how long the word is. All. Small word, big meaning. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, acknowledge doesn't mean just for you to say, I believe you're there. Oh, the devil does too, but that doesn't help any. Just acknowledging makes you the God and you just acknowledge he exists. No, what it really means is to recognize him, to discern God in everything. Be aware of him in business, home, school, community, work, play. I don't care what you're doing. I want you to go with me, Lord. I need to sense your presence. Where you stand is holy ground, not because of you, but because of who is in you. Now, if you're not one of God's children, his spirit isn't in there. You're just a heathen. You're out there not believing on God. Ain't no holy ground. You just got the plain dirt of the Adam nature. But when you have the Spirit of God within you, when you are saved, when you are truly forgiven of him and he resides in because you let him in, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Invite me in and I'll come dine with you, he says. He doesn't come to you with his boot and kick your door down, which is what's so confusing to some people. You don't get his gifts unless you ask him in and take them. And once you do, you have that in there. So don't be swayed. Stay focused on him. Don't be swayed by your emotions and the circumstances of the moment. Be aware of him in your midst. I defer to you. I defer to your thoughts and your feelings and your desires in this moment because I don't have tomorrow yet. I got all this stuff swirling around me now. I need to step back. I need to take a deep breath of your holy presence to know what it is to do. Other things are pretty smooth. Some days are smooth. Nothing big goes on. You get up, you go through the day, you do whatever you're supposed to do, and it's great. You bless the Lord, you praise the Lord, but there's those other days. It's real easy to praise God when everything's going right. It's when it's going wrong that we kind of desert the best thing we ever had, and that's the Lord. Then we start trying, you know, it'd be like if I had a big plumbing leak in my house, me trying to fix it. I'd wrap duct tape around it and put a bucket under the leak. That ain't going to do. You need to call in the plumber. And we do the same thing. We have all these things happening in our lives. We try and fix it ourselves. It doesn't work. God says, just stay focused on me because I can fix anything in your life. I can give you understanding on why I might let something go a little longer here or a little less here. You're never going to get that by your own self, only by being focused on the Lord. So recognize him in your midst. Be aware of his presence. Call upon him. Now that's going to help you stay focused. The adversary wants you scattered. He wants you running like a nut all over the place, not knowing what to do. He wants everything falling apart because he knows when it is. The tendency of the human nature is to not focus on God, but on what's going on. What's the old saying? It's kind of hard to... when you're fighting the alligators, to remember you're there to drain the swamp. You know, focus. Why am I here, God? Focus. I got to focus on you. Now, it doesn't mean you walk around all day, you know, flapping your Bible around and, you know, going, he's not talking about that. This is a vibrant, wonderful life. Get in there. Enjoy your husbands and your wives. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your jobs. Get recreation in there. I always say every single day you should be doing three things. You should pray hard, work hard, and play hard. If you only pray hard all day, you are no good to anyone. If you only work hard all day, you are no good to anyone. If you only play hard all day, you're no good to anyone. You gotta do all three. This is a vibrant, wonderful life in the Lord. Not some boring whatever on the side. The reason it got boring, the reason it got burdened, the reason it got confusing is because we didn't stay focused, honey. We lost the perspective in the Lord. So that discipline and discernment, oh my gosh. But focusing on your life results in the very direction that we want. What am I supposed to do? So direction for your life. He says he will make your path straight. Or another version says he will direct your path. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's what I need. The end process of dependence, the dedication, you know, the trust in the Lord with all your heart, the discipline, not leaning on your own understanding, and the discernment in every way in your life to acknowledge him. That is the life that we yearn for. That's one with direction, with purpose, and focus to it. Now, the last two scriptures are just short scriptures to just kind of sum this up here as we finish today. In Luke 22:42. This is one thing that we can say and that we can pray. And what Jesus said is what we need to say and live. In Luke 22:42, Jesus was saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." Mm-hmm. And Jesus could say that with confidence, even as he was heading to his death. Whoa. And there's nothing wrong with saying, "God, if you got another way, we're open to it, because this one looks really stinky." But you have to be willing to say, "God, you know my heart, you know my weakness. I only want what you have. Your will be done, not mine." And in Isaiah 48:17, wow, we sometimes forget this. This is how we lose our focus. In Isaiah 48:17, he says, "I am the Lord your God who leads you by the way you should go." So you see, we're not just floating around in a sea of uncertainty. God actually promises to direct your path. He's just saying, all God is saying to us is, focus, stay focused, honey. God bless you.